Morning, would you stand with us? It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen and amen. Glad you are here. Are you ready to worship the Lord? He is worthy of our worship. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're excited to be here in your house with your people, Lord, to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, the power of prayer. Lord, today, Lord, we just call upon you and we ask you just to move in a mighty way, Lord, in this service, in this missions convention, Lord. We pray for your hand to be upon us, for your grace to be upon us. We pray, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done in this place this morning, God. Move by your Spirit. We welcome you and we acknowledge your presence right now, God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad with my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my faith on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful and so why should he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me shaken. I've never been more glad when I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. King with
my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, with everything around me shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. Open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. Open up my heart.
I just wanna sit here at
feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, 'cause Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. We're coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. We're sorry, Lord, for the thing we've made it, when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll sing you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you.
All about you.
All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus.
We worship you, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Sing it to the Lord. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
One more time, just the voices, let's all sing it. He's worthy of it all today. Hallelujah.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Church, just lift our voices and lift our hands and lift our praise and our worship to the one who is worthy of it all. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy of every ounce of worship. You are worthy of the fruit of our lips giving thanks and praise unto you. We glorify and we magnify the name above all names today. We glorify you, Lord, on this Sunday morning. We lift you our praise. We lift you our worship. We lift to you our adoration. And we're so thankful, Jesus. We're so thankful, Jesus, for what you have done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we glorify you today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Sing that one more time. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Once more. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise. Oh, halabakoshiti adab. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord, today. You are worthy. You are worthy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we just want to remember some people in prayer. Thea Ridling-Hafer called me on Thursday, I believe, and said that her sister-in-law, Wanda, Wanda Harper passed away of a heart attack. Thea was actually on the phone with her when it happened. So what a tremendously sad thing. But Wanda and Dwayne Harper have been Assemblies of God pastors for years and years. Both of their sons, Stephen and Michael, are in the ministry, Assemblies of God ministers. So Dwayne has been really, really bad with dementia, but Wanda was been doing good, has been her husband's caretaker, and then heard I just have a massive heart attack and pass away to heaven. It was just a shock to everyone. So let's lift up the Harper family this morning. Rick Rounds' funeral will be this Wednesday here at 11 o'clock. I suspect we will have a house full of people. I wouldn't be surprised if this sanctuary that seats about 400 was completely full, all the people that knew him. He was in the record business about all of his life, and there are record companies from all over the metro area that are coming, even a procession of them coming to show up here at a little bit before 11. And so we want to pray for their family. If you can help us with the dinner, see Joyce. She's taking your names that can bring food. If you can help with people, be here with the doors, help with tables and chairs. There will not be a graveside, but as soon as the service is over, we'll set up the tables and have dinner for the family, about 45 family members. And so if you can help us, please see Joyce. We always appreciate your help, and I know you always turn out really well for this. Debbie Rowland, our caller, our coffee lady, she is having some severe health issues. She was taken to ER yesterday. They're not for sure what all's going on with her, but Sister Glenna, would you come? And she asked if she could stand in for Debbie as we pray for her today. So we want to pray for Debbie Rowland. Some of you ladies gather around Glenna, and then we're going to pray for her. Wilma Harding has also been sick, needs our prayers. And then Mary Creech's niece passed away in her sleep last night. And so her name was, Jenny. So let's pray for Jenny's family. I don't know any more than that, but let's pray for Mary and for Jenny's family. And let's just join together and pray right now. And let's just pray for help and for healing. Lord, we just come to you right now as a family of God. Father, we pray for Debbie right now as Glenna stands in for her. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for your healing touch upon Debbie Rowland. We pray that she would just minister to her whatever is going on with her health. Lord, we know that you are able to take care of it. And so we lift her up to you. By your stripes, we are healed. We claim that for Debbie right now. We speak that over her. We just pray for her, Lord, that you would touch her and make her completely and totally whole. We thank you, Lord, today. Father, we pray for the Harper family today. We pray for Dwayne and for Michael and Stephen and their family, for Thea. We just pray, God, that you would just give them comfort and peace. Lord, we know that Wanda Harper is with you. We know that she has served you for many, many years as a faithful, loyal pastor's wife. Lord, and we just pray for her family today. Just touch them and bring help and bring comfort and bring peace. Father, we pray for the Rounds family as well. We pray, Father God, for Lexi. We pray for Anthony and his family. We pray for Blaine. We pray for little 9-year-old Aiden, who doesn't understand why Daddy is not coming home. But I pray, Lord, you would wrap your arms around this family, that you would give them peace and give them comfort. And may the memorial service on Wednesday bring glory and honor to you. May the gospel go forth from this platform as the Holy Spirit ministers to hearts, as inevitably there will be many people here who do not know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you that Rick was prepared. We thank you that Rick is now in heaven today, rejoicing at the decision he made many years ago and the rededication he made recently, Lord, to get his heart and his life right with you. We thank you, Lord, today that he is with you. We do pray for Wilma. We pray that you would comfort and touch her and help her and heal her. We pray for Mary's niece, Jenny, who passed away. We pray, Lord, for her family. We just pray that you would minister to them today. Comfort them with your peace. Comfort them, Holy Spirit, and minister help and healing and comfort and peace and strength to this family right now. And Lord, I know there are many others related to us in some way or another, either by work or by family or by neighbors or by friends, Lord, that need your touch today. Many who are lost that need to come to know you as Savior and Lord in our community, in our state, in our country, Lord. We pray for a great revival as we continue to believe, God, for your word to go forth in fire and in power and a supernatural move of your Holy Spirit across this nation from coast to coast, from border to border, and around the world, God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And you may be seated. One more thing we'd like to announce this morning is that Charles and Zelma Tennyson, Charles and Zelma, would you guys come down here? I don't mean to embarrass you, but would you please come down here? These, how many of you know these are some pretty awesome people right here? They are just awesome. And they've been worshiping with us now for about 8 months or 9 months. I don't exactly know what month you came, January or something like December. So 9 months. Well, guess what? We've enjoyed having them here. But as of next Sunday, they are the new pastors at First Assembly of God in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. And so we want to pray for them. And we're excited for you. And so would you stretch your hand toward this awesome couple? Father, we thank you for the Tennysons. Lord, I love their spirit. I love their heart. I love the fact that they love you and they want to serve you in their later years, Lord. They're still willing to pick up the plow and to pick up the word and to pick up the pieces, Lord, of a community, Lord, and the souls of a community and bring them into a church. And I pray that you would bless them. Bless them, Lord, with supernatural strength and anointing as they step into this role again of pastoring. I pray that your spirit rest upon them and that next Sunday when they step in the pulpit at Wynnewood First Assembly of God, that your spirit would be evident and that your anointing would rest upon this congregation. May it prosper. May it grow. May your word increase and your spirit increase and revival increase in the town of Wynnewood, Oklahoma. Lord, just bless Charles and Zelma, we pray. We love them and we're sending them forth with our blessing and with our prayers and with our love. We love you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending them our way. Even for just these last 8-9 months, we're so happy that they have been a part of this church family. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. Well, Pastor Phil is coming at this time to make some announcements and receive our offering, and then we're going to come back and talk about our missions guest today and our missions convention. So, Pastor Phil, come on.
Amen. Amen. How many of you guys like to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. 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 It's good to be here amongst family and friends Seen some smiling faces. No frowning today. Everybody smile. Be happy. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. And so I want to just say to you, welcome this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we want to just ask that you would take the card and the seat back in front of you. And if you'd fill that out and help us to have a record of your attendance by placing that in the offering bag, that would be awesome. That'll be passing by in just a little bit. And so you should have a few minutes to do just that, to fill it out. And we just want to say thanks for being here. Thanks for being online, if you're watching online. And I always go and check it out during service. I'll go over there and just see who is watching online, maybe from home, and welcome them. And so I'll welcome you from the pulpit today. Welcome, and glad that you are here. We have several announcements, and so I'm going to try to go through them really quick. But first, tonight is our second Connect group of the semester, and we had a really good turnout 2 weeks ago, and we're looking for even a better one tonight. Our ladies group with Glenn Humphrey will start tonight, and so she's excited about that. If you, you're wondering, hey, well, are we doing food, or what are we doing, and all that, most of our leaders have written on their sheet what they're doing, or you can find them after service, but I'm not going to take the time to go through what each group is doing, but love for you to be a part of it. If you didn't sign up, maybe you didn't go the first week, but you're like, you know what, I really need to do that. Hey, it's not too late. It's not too late. Put your name down just so the leaders know that you're coming. But even if you get out of here, you forget you're at lunch today and you thought, oh, man, I was going to go to that group and I didn't write my name down. That's okay. Just show up at the group and we're going to have a great time tonight at Connect Groups. And then make sure you look at the bulletin. It has a whole schedule of what's happening on our Sunday nights in October, and which includes next Sunday night, when the women are having their girls' night out at Cheesecake Factory. And I have once again been told I'm not allowed to go. And so the kids and I will be at home trying to stay spiritual, Pastor, and not be envious of all the cheesecake that's being eaten. But anyway, we already have a long list of people signing up to go. My wife Kelly will be leading that, and she'd love to have you come and be a part of that. We want to big group of ladies going and having fellowship and time together. And so if you'll just sign up there, we'll know that you're headed with them to go out for girls' night. We have water baptism coming up. If you have never been baptized in water and you'd like to be, we'd love for you to sign up for that. And all the information is out there and in the bulletin for that. And then last but not least, the Eden Clinic, which is the clinic that we support here in the local area in Norman, is having their gala on Tuesday, October 11th at 6:30. But if you want to go, you need to let Pastor Steve know by next Wednesday, or I guess it's a week from Wednesday. You got a little bit of time, but if you'd like to do that, please let Pastor Steve. And then one more thing I forgot, right on the Light for the Lost. If you look at your bulletin, get it out right now. Light for the Lost banquet information is not correct. It is not correct. And Pastor, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. We made a mistake. Oh, the district changed it. We're blaming it on the district, and so obviously never our fault. It is November 7th. It is November 7th, and it'll be at Capitol Hill at 7 p.m. Tom Green, which used to be our DCAP or our district youth director, will be speaking. He always does a wonderful job, and so be looking for a sign-up. That's all the way out in November, but it'll be here before you know it. How many know the calendar just goes by so quickly? Come on now. For some reason, the temperature can't catch up with fall. It's supposed to be fall. Anybody felt fall yet? No. I'd like the temperatures to fall, and they have not. And so, but anyway, there's lots of stuff coming up, and we want you to make sure you read. There's even stuff on the back of things that are happening. Lots of stuff happening around here, and we want you to be informed of that. We ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen. As they come, want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who have given towards our missions project for OU Chi Alpha. We're in the process of trying to raise $30,000 to help them buy a truck to be able to pull their trailer and help them to set up and to do different events on the campus. And you can see we're at like $13,600 right now. And believe in the Lord, by the end of the year, will help us to get to that $30,000. Let's pray over the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, We thank you again for all that you have just blessed us with. Lord, you continue to pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, we pray that as we invest in missions, as we invest in people, as we reach our community, Lord, may you just continue to be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Well, today is our concluding service of our missions convention. We had an awesome service last week with Kurt Ford. And today we are so happy to have Aaron and Krista and Asher Bruton with us. They are missionaries, and I'll let them tell you here in a few moments where they are at and where they are heading. As you can see in your missions bulletin, there are about 75 missionaries that we support every month to the tune of about $7,500 a month. And for a church our size, that is quite an great thing. So thank you very much for your investing in missions. I believe there are two main reasons the Lord blesses a church. Number one, they pray and have a vision for the lost. And number two, they are invested in missions. And like prayer and missions are the two rails that a church runs on that the Lord blesses. And so at the end of the service, when we receive an offering for our missionaries, we're also going to ask you to turn in this faith promise card. So be praying and thinking about, maybe you already know, as you've thought about it this week and asked the Lord, we'd have you to give, but you'll tear off this one side. And so that you can be reminded, the little small part is yours, the bigger part you can turn in. And listen, you don't have to sign your name. If you don't want to, if it's between you and God, just put down what you feel like the Lord wants you. Don't worry about signing your name. I tell you what I do. I flip through them and get an idea of the total. And you know what I do with them after that? I trash them in file 13. I don't even keep them. So there's not one missions thing of these over the years past that's anywhere in the office. We trash them. And so it's just a way for you to get in your mind, this is what I feel like the Lord wants to do. And like I said, if you sign your name, fine. If you don't, that's no big deal. We're not going to send you a letter and say, listen, buddy, you committed $100 a month. Where is it? We're going to send the board members out to attack you and get your money. We don't do that stuff. That's between you and God. And so anyway, this is above your tithes. This is not, well, I can do this. It's above your tithe. I don't make apologies for offerings because the Bible says the godly love to give. And the Lord blesses those who are invested, especially in missions. You want to be blessed of the Lord? Invest in giving to missions and he will bless you. And of course, be a tither. So this morning, we are happy to have Aaron and Krista Bruton. They are from Mustang, Oklahoma, grew up in Mustang. This is their first tenure of going out on the mission field. I'm going to let them tell that story of how does a person that's I don't want to say that you're middle-aged, but you're closer probably to middle-age. And they've never, it's not like they're right out of Bible school. Well, Lord, where are you going to send us? They've been doing other things for the last 20 years. How in the world now are they going to go on the other side of the world and take their son? I tell you what, I don't even know the answer to that. I have no idea how that happens. So I'm interested to know, how does somebody that's sitting in church every week and involved in the ministry and in the work and in their family and living in Mustang, Oklahoma, all of a sudden say the Lord's going to send me to the other side of the world? I'm dying to know that. So we are happy to have them. They're going to come after going to show you a short video. So go ahead and do that. And before that start, let's give the Brutons a hand for being. Testing. Oh.
Live Dead is a call to plant churches among unreached people groups through teams.
The heart of Live Dead is to respond to the challenge of access.
We are responding in a very simple way.
Planting churches among unreached peoples through teams.
Teams are groups of people who live in the same city or village
and meet weekly to pray, evangelize, disciple, and plant churches together.
We know that we are stronger together than we are apart.
A Live Dead team is made up of people with a wide variety of skill sets.
And may include people from different organizations, generations, and ethno-linguistic groups.
We work in partnership with National Believers and the wider body of Christ.
Churches are groups of local men and women who have abandoned their former way of life to follow Jesus.
Some gather in church buildings, but most will meet secretly in houses.
Churches are groups of believers committed to teaching and learning the Bible.
Spending time with each other in Christian fellowship, to celebrating the Lord's Supper and baptism.
And to a lifestyle of abiding in Jesus. Without a doubt, our world is covered with lost people.
We don't have to look far to find someone who is lost and in need of the saving gospel that comes only through Jesus Christ. The Live Dead focus is on access to the gospel.
We know of entire countries with fewer than 10 known believers.
An unreached people group, simply defined, is an ethno-linguistic tribe or demographic that is less than 2% evangelical Christian.
There are almost 3 billion people in approximately 7,000 people groups in the world today that are unreached.
Of those nearly 7,000 people groups, around 3,000 of them are what we call unengaged.
No local churches.
No missionaries.
And no teams resident and working towards church planting.
Our goal in Live Dead is to respond to this great need to plant churches that multiply effectively in their own culture.
Live Dead is currently active in training church planters and launching church planting teams in 8 major regions: Africa, the Arab world, Silk Road, Iran, India, Origins, Russia, and China.
In our world today, unreached people tend to be found in countries at war, inhospitable climates,
dense cities, unstable governments, and in the midst of challenging security circumstances.
In this new normal of instability, we are committed to living,
and if needed, dying among the unreached wherever they are found.
Motivated by the love of God, we go where there are no churches and no Christians.
We go where there is no gospel message and where Jesus is not glorified.
We go for the single and uniting mission of the church:
to bring glory to the name of Jesus
among every tribe, nation, and tongue.
That is why we Live Dead.
Planting churches, unreached people groups, teams.
Good morning, church. I'm Aaron.
I'm Krista, and we have a 5-year-old son named Asher. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve and group, for sharing your time with us today.
It's on. Test 1, 2.
All right. So I'm Krista, and we have a 5-year-old son named Asher. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. We do have a table out in the lobby. If you would like to get a prayer card or free prayer resources, sign up for our prayer updates. We also have Nutella out there, the country where we're headed. As your associates to Central Eurasia, they have Nutella almost every morning for breakfast, and hazelnut is one of their main exports. So when we found that single-serve jar, we thought that would be a fun way to remind people of who we are and where we're going. And that Nutella jar says on it exactly where we're going. But for live streaming purposes, we're going to Central Eurasia because it is a majority Muslim country. So we need to be careful about saying that we're going to be missionaries there.
So imagine, if you will, that it was dangerous for you to have or even read a Bible. Where we're going, they don't have the kind of freedoms that we have here. But then imagine that you didn't know anyone who could tell you what the Bible was saying. And imagine that there was no one else around you who believed that the Bible was the true word of God. That's the reality for many believers and people where we're going today.
I've been called to ministry since I was a teenager, and I had the opportunity to go to Southwestern Assemblies of God University. And when I first got there, I got involved in something called Jumu'ah Prayer Fellowship. Jumu'ah is the Arabic word for Friday, Muslims' holy day. So Jumu'ah Prayer Fellowship meets to intercede for Muslims on the day that they set aside to seek after God. So all across the country, there are people interceding for Muslims while they're putting aside time to seek after God. So this greatly increased my burden for ministry to Muslims. I had been involved at our home church in Mustang. My parents were interim children's pastors for 13 years. They like to say it was the longest interim children's pastor ever, they say. And so I was really good with kids, and I feel like that was a natural thing for me still. And so I decided to get a degree in elementary education because I thought that would give me a creative access to sensitive countries where you can't just show up and say, hey, I'm going to be a missionary. But I did want to reach out to Muslim people. So God just began growing that burden in my heart.
And I was called to the ministry when I was 17 years old. In Mustang, our pastor was having a Sunday night prayer service, and the altars filled up, and he was saying, anyone who's looking for direction, please come down for prayer. And so as a 17-year-old kid, I knew that I needed direction in my life because I was about to graduate high school and had no idea what I was going to go do next. And so I was praying, and that was when God just told me, I want you to go be a missionary. I want you to go reach people, my people, who have never heard of me. And so I knew that that was what I was supposed to be doing. And I left that prayer service thinking that, okay, I know how this is going to work. God's going to send me to Bible school, and I'm going to get a ministry degree, and then I'm going to go change the world. And that is absolutely not what happened. God instead sent me into the workforce. And so I've worked as a carpenter. I made trash bags for a while. I am currently a locksmith. And all throughout that, all throughout those strange jobs that God's given me over the years, I followed him knowing that because I had a promise, he had a plan. And how many here know that our God is a promise keeper? Amen? Amen. Amen. And so 23 years later, that promise is being fulfilled. God said, now is your time to go.
So when we got engaged, we knew we were supposed to be working in a church plant, and we started praying about that. And God led us to a small church plant in North Texas. So we learned a lot then. The people at that church plant did not know the difference between Christmas and Easter. They did not know which holiday he was born on and which one he died on. That was new for us because at Mustang, we learned that. So we thought, okay, this is new for us. We're out of our church bubble now. I also volunteered as missions coordinator there. So we got to know a lot of the missionaries in North Texas, and God just continually primed our heart for missions. And we would pray about it. We would pray about traditional missions, but it just clearly was not our time to go. Some of the people that I was teaching in public schools, it was giving us a door for this church plant we were working at. And we were learning a lot of things being on the core church plant team. Also, I started taking some graduate classes. And the whole time I was still eager about creative access for ministry to Muslim women. So I stumbled upon the idea of business as missions, and I started sharing that with my dad and uncle, who had a small business in Mustang, and were very interested in how they could use the profits from their business to further ministry. And they were very involved at the church in Mustang and in the missions projects that the bridge does. But they were also very interested in this idea of business as missions. So we started working with some of the missionaries out of the Bridge Church in southern Mexico. Southern Mexico is reached. So I was like, okay, that's not exactly what I was going for. But what we did get to do there was help a Bible institute in southern Mexico with recurring monthly revenue, and the students got a chance to do a work study program so they didn't have to leave. And the Lord put on our hearts to start praying that those Bible students in southern Mexico would feel called to be missionaries to Muslims. So that was great. And then another group that needed help in southern Africa at a Bible school in southern Africa also reached, heard about what we were doing in southern Mexico and needed help there. But we got to learn a lot about people who had been coming from areas in northern Africa where there were more of a Muslim influence. So God just put it more and more on our hearts to pray that these Bible school students would reach Muslims. But still, this whole time, God was working with us and saying, no, you're a resource where you are. You're reaching the community where you are. You're doing a lot just through your business's missions. So we just kept plugging away and obeying and doing what God called us to do.
Yeah, and during that time, while we were working at the church plant in North Texas, we like to say we were missionaries to Texas. Hope you're not from Texas. Don't want to offend you. But we like to say we were missionaries to Texas. And they were so, it was so wonderful working with people that had never been in church, that had never known God, because our lobby, this is my favorite story to tell, our lobby would smell like cigarettes, stale beer, and marijuana every Sunday morning. They would ride their motorcycles up and park them under the awning in front of the church on the sidewalk, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff that happened, but they were coming to the church to find Jesus. They needed Jesus. They knew they needed Jesus, and they were coming as they were to find Jesus, because we said, come be with us. Don't worry about getting everything right. Just come be with us. So we had all kinds of crazy stories. We had one guy that the Lord got a hold of him, and he wanted to get up on stage and tell everybody what God had done for him. And he got up on stage saying, God's done some great things in my life. I feel like a whole new man. And then he started cussing because he was so excited about it. He didn't know how else to express himself. So that was a little bit of an eye-opener for us, but it was so wonderful seeing them come to God for the first time. And like Krista said, we've been very involved in missions. Our heart has been missions for a long time. We actually went to language school down in Costa Rica, the Assemblies of God Language School.
With the Snows, who you support,
yeah. And because we were trying to do that work in southern Mexico, so we were trying to learn more Spanish. And while we were there, we were like, God, we're here. We're at language school. You know, if this is the time, let's go. And God just kept saying, now's not the time. Now's not the time. Just wait. Be a resource. Now's not the time. So that was just a little more of the kind of backstory of how long we've been involved in missions, and we've known that this was our heart for a long time.
And when we first got engaged, another thing that we talked about and dreamed about with missions was the city where we're headed now, how cool it would be to live there, what an influential place it would be. It's influential politically, it's influential culturally, it's influential in world trade, and it's a secular state, not an Islamic state, so there's a little bit more flexibility on sharing. But we just talked about how cool it would be to be there. And we're nerds, we're history buffs. So we love reading and learning about those places that have thousands of years worth of history. And we thought, wouldn't that be so cool? Well, we had the chance to move back to Oklahoma, and we settled back in Mustang. And the very first fall we were here, we met Darren and Sarah Ballard. When they were itinerating to go, you support them, and they are going to be our launch team leaders when we go this first time. But we met them several years ago and just got to know them. Number one, they were going to the country that had been on our hearts ever since we were engaged. And we were like, this is just so, so cool. So we were always very interested in what was going on with them. And then we got involved with the Bridge planted a church plant out in Piedmont, and we went and did that for a year. I led the children's stuff and did everything media. So we got involved in that for a year, and while we were there, we had Asher. We'd been married for 13 years when we had Asher. So we thought, oh, well, this is cool. You know, God blessed us. And then we started finding out from Darren and Sarah that the people where we're going really love and honor kids, and they don't understand when you don't have a kid because children are so respected in their society. Well, so we started wrestling with what we were going to do with his education, me being an early childhood educator, and you guys know, I know there are lots of options around here. So we really started praying about, what is God going to do with our young, impressionable kid? Do we need to put him in private Christian school? Do I homeschool him? Do we enroll him in public school? what do we do? And so our church was in a time of prayer and fasting, and that was the question we were really wrestling with as parents. And God told each of us separately that Asher would have a Muslim best friend. So we knew that probably wasn't going to happen in private Christian school, probably not going to happen in homeschool. So we enrolled him in public school, and there are some Muslims going to his elementary school in Mustang now. But that is not the end of the story.
Yeah, so like we said, we know the Ballards, and we were financial partners with the Ballards, and we'd pray with them, and when they'd come through town, we'd try and have lunch with them just because, you know, we really respected them for what they were doing and kind of envied them for where they were going. Not going to lie, had a little bit of envy there. But we got a message from the Ballards in, so Asher was three, so it was January 2021. And again, in that time of prayer and fasting at our church. And we thought this would be a, hey, we want to call, we want to talk to you guys, we want to let you know what's going on with our ministry during COVID. That's kind of what we thought was happening. And again, wrong. They called us to say, the Holy Spirit has put your family on our hearts as someone who would come over here and work with us. And we hung up from that phone call, and we knew that now was the time. This thing, this dream, this big dream that we've had that we've been waiting for this whole time, now it's happening. So that was 23 years from when I got my call to go be a missionary, was when that happened. And we were excited about that. And then our son, Asher, was watching a video from a Live Dead Arab World team with us a couple of weeks later. And he was three, mind you. And he said, I want to go live there someday. And he wasn't talking that way. He'd never said, I want to go live somewhere else before. You know, our house was just our house. That's where we lived. And so for our three-year-old to say, I want to go live there, we knew that not only was this call for us, for Aaron and Krista, this call was for Asher as well. He was part of this team. He would be part of this work that we were called to go do. And we're so excited about that.
And we cannot overestimate the power of your prayers and what they mean to us. It takes finances to get us to the field, but it is prayer that keeps us on the field. Your prayers. It's your prayers that fill our cup when we are learning language. It's your prayers that fill our cup when we are figuring out all the cultural things that we have to figure out. It is your prayers that fill our cup when we are planting the church among unreached peoples. And we just thank you and honor you and appreciate all the prayers that you will be lifting up for us.
And so we've told you a little about ourselves and our story and our call to the missions field and how that happened. But now we want to tell you a little bit about our dreams. So God put this burden on our heart. And it's been 19 years since we first started talking about going to the country we're going to. And that was, I mean, we've carried that burden for a long time now. And so we're very excited that now is the time. So we were dreaming big dreams while we were engaged, and we were talking about what our life would look like as a married couple, and, you know, the ministry stuff that we had dreams about, and the dream that we had to go where we're going. And those were all big dreams. And then How many people know that it takes confidence to have a big dream? To dream a big dream takes confidence. And so it takes confidence to dream a big dream about going to a Muslim country to tell people about Jesus. It takes confidence to know that those conversations will have church plants that come out of them. And so people that have never even heard the name of Jesus will one day hear the name of Jesus because a conversation started somewhere in the world because someone said, yes, I'm willing to go. That's a big dream, and that takes confidence. And there's an even bigger dream, and it's the dream of everyone that's going to Eurasia. That dream is that to realize a church planting movement among every people group in Eurasia. Every people group.
This sounds good, but it is a big dream because there are 5,356 unreached people groups in Eurasia. So what gives us the confidence to dream these big dreams? It is the confidence of knowing who we serve. We know that we serve Jesus, our high priest, who has gone before us. So if you would turn with me, I'm going to read out of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Thank you. I actually have a Bible to read. Not just a phone. And I'm reading out of the NIV, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can have confidence because we have a great high priest who loves us, who knows our every weakness, and who goes before the Father for us. He dreams big for us. He dreams bigger than we can dream, and we can have that confidence.
So that big dream, that dream to realize a church planting movement in 5,356 unreached people groups in Eurasia, that big dream suddenly seems less intimidating when you know that our high priest has gone before the Father. It seems less intimidating because we have the confidence to share the message. We have the confidence because we know he is worthy. We have the confidence to go do this because we know that there is hope. That these people that have no hope are looking for hope. They are looking for direction. They are looking for a Savior. And we are so excited and so honored to be able to go take that message to them. Will it be easy? No, absolutely not. It'll be hard. There'll be hard times. We'll be discouraged. There will be persecution. But we know, because we have confidence in a great God who dreams big dreams, and who puts big dreams in our hearts, that this is our time, this is our calling. And so, as we kind of conclude here, those are our dreams. But now, what about your dreams? Did God place a dream in your heart when you were young, and you haven't realized it yet? It hasn't happened yet? It's never too late. You're never too old, amen? Amen. 23 years was a long time to wait. But it's worth it because he is worthy. It's a promise. If God has given you a dream, that's a promise from God. And no matter how long it seems, no matter if you got the dream yesterday or if you got it 50 years ago, God can still use you. You are still being called by God to that dream. So I would like to challenge you, if during this time of your missions convention, if you've been called, if you've been called to be a minister, if you've been called to be a missionary, a Bible study teacher, if you've been called to be an auto mechanic, anything God has called you to, he will use you for his glory because he is worthy and because you can have confidence in him because he is a big God who gives big dreams. If you've been called and you want someone to talk to, please come talk to us. Please come talk to your pastors. We would love to join in prayer with you for the big dreams that God has put on your heart. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you, church. We appreciate the time letting us talk so you can hear our hearts and hear our burden.
I asked them before they leave the platform, let's pray for them and say a prayer for them. Where they're going is not easy. I mean, not at all. I mean, it is probably one of the most difficult places in the world to go to. And so they're going to need our prayers. And I'm sure you're right when you said it's not going to be easy. I know. But how many of you know if God's in it and God tells you to do it, you better do it. And he will provide. So stretch your hands toward this couple. Father, we thank you.
and praise you for Aaron and Krista and Asher. We thank you, Lord, for their heart to serve, for their heart to be involved, even though it's taken a long time for you to get them in the place where they're going. Lord, that doesn't matter. What matters is that they are following your will. Lord, you've taken them in different places and different churches and church plants in Texas and Piedmont, Oklahoma, Lord. And thank you for all the people that have invested in their lives, Lord, even children's and youth leaders and nursery, Lord, all the time that they've been growing up now and now have their own family. We just pray, God, that you continue to order their steps. Father, I pray that you anoint them. I pray that you help them as they raise the budget that they need. Thank you, Father God, that we can be involved in that calling. And we just pray your blessing over them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Amen. All right. Thank you. Worship team, would you come? We want to take a few moments here and just receive an offering for our missionaries and also give you an opportunity to turn in your faith promise. And like I said, I totally believe that the Lord's blessing upon Noble Assembly of God has been because of our giving to missions over the last many, many years. And so I don't want us to ever back off from what God is doing in us and through us. If we don't do our part as a church, they can't go. If they do not raise their budget, correct me if I'm wrong, if you do not raise your budget that they determine is needed for you to live and minister and fulfill your call, let's say whatever that number is, I have no idea. Let's just say it's $4,000 or $3,000 a month. If you're only at $2,000, guess what? They stay in Mustang or wherever they live. I think they said they live in Mustang. They stay. They don't let them go. And so it takes churches just like this one and individuals to be able to come and partner with them so that they can go and do what God's called them to do. And so we're glad to be a part of that. I told them earlier, I said, well, I got a board meeting tomorrow night, and they're already on the agenda to consider supporting. And thank you for coming this morning and for allowing us to be a part of this. So the missionaries, yeah, you guys are missionaries in your right. The usher missionaries are here. Let's take this card, though, and your gift and hold it up and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for putting us in your plan. Whether we are called to go or whether we are called to send, we know that both is just as important, just as vital. It's a team effort. And Lord, you're the head of the team. You're our leader, you're our high priest, you're our Savior, you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And just as they are having faith to go, may we have faith to give. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this offering, bless these faith promised gifts, and Lord, may the word continue to go forth and see lives changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. As you give, we're going to do a final song here, one of my favorites. I want you to sing along with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. One more time. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Oh, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. I speak Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Yes, Lord, we speak the name of Jesus. Lord, over every country, over every missionary, over every lost people group. Father God, we just speak the name of Jesus over this world, Father God. Every country, Lord, every state in our United States, Father, every county, every community, every town and city. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus. Lord, this world needs Jesus. Our families and our country needs Jesus. Oh, Father God, pour out your spirit, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to be a part of this missions convention. We thank you, Lord, for all of the missionaries, Lord, that you are sending and that we get to be a part of. We pray, God, that your blessing be upon each and every one of us as we are missionaries in our own right, in our own community, in our own country, in our own communities, Lord, on our jobs, in our family, to our neighbors. I pray that you help us be responsible, good examples to the world around us, we pray. God, go with us as we leave here today, Lord. We just pray that you would give us opportunities, divine appointments, if you will, to be the voice and the hand and the heart of God to our community. And we give you all the praise and glory. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here in this service.